Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. To learn more about St. John's, please visit our website at www.sjtosa.org. This week's sermon for the fifth Sunday of Easter is based on Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here's this week's sermon on the State of the Union from Pastor Joel Schwartz.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The words of God for us to meditate on today are from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. It's on the top of page 6 in your service folder. These are the words of God. Over the past few weeks during the Easter season, we have been looking at readings from the book of Acts. You might have noticed that throughout much of the church year, we hear in our first reading, we hear from the Old Testament. We hear about the history of God's people leading up to the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus. But in the Easter season, we take a look at the book of Acts and we learn about this New Testament Christian church. And throughout the book of Acts, there are these short little progress reports. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter and the disciples preach at Pentecost, we're told that 3,000 were added to their number that day. At the beginning of Acts chapter 4, it tells us that now there's 5,000 among the believers. In Acts chapter 6, it gives another update and tells us that more and more are being added to their number daily. Even some of the priests were part of the family of believers. And the message that the disciples preached is all centered around this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. It wasn't that Jesus was Lord and Savior, but the author of Acts, Luke, wants to make it clear for his hearers, for you and for me, it's not that Jesus was Lord and Savior, he is Lord and Savior. That it is the living Lord Jesus behind these amazing things that were happening in the early church. It's the living Lord Jesus that was behind 3,000 being added to their number and the disciples being able to speak in different languages so that people could go to their homeland and tell others about the good news of Jesus. It was the living Lord Jesus behind this miracle that took place that we heard about a few weeks ago. A man who was crippled from birth being able to walk again, being made whole again. And in the verses right before this, we hear about the living Lord Jesus at work in the life of the disciples as the house where they were praying shook. Can you imagine it? As the believers are gathered in one place, the place where they are praying begins to shake. There are more miracles, more evidence of the living Lord Jesus at work, and it's in the text that we have before us today. And it may not be as apparent right away as we look at those first words in verse 32 on the top of page 6. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. You might say, well, why is this a miracle? Well, just think about this for a moment. A group of 5,000 plus believers having been gathered together just in the past few months or even weeks. A group that probably ran the gamut of people from all age groups. a group in which there were all manner of rich and poor and everything in between, a group that could easily be susceptible to various cliques and then gossiping. But something had united them. Something miraculous had taken place. The state of their union is this, that all of them are believers. They're all believers in the living Lord Jesus. Easter is what makes this possible. Brothers and sisters, this is what the good news of Jesus does. It transcends generational gaps and social standing. The good news of Jesus breaks down walls that divide and brings people together into one body, the body of Christ. And how did that happen? When Jesus gave his body and blood on the cross. His blood was sacrificed for the sins of every single soul, including yours and mine, including every single soul sitting around you today. This is what unites us. That we are souls that have been paid for by the blood of Christ. And their fruits of faith looked like this. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And then going ahead a little bit in verse 33, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, it wasn't required of the disciple that becoming a disciple of Jesus meant that you had to do these things, but these things were done out of love. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, it says, that God's undeserved love surged through them, that they wanted to show this love to others, and they were not going to let any among them be in need, it says. He turned hearts that are often self-centered and often focused on accumulating stuff for ourselves into hearts that were selfless. Selfless and sacrificing for the good of others. Money and possessions are often things that people cling to. Money and possessions often can be things that create distance between people or draw boundaries between people. But here, with the living Lord Jesus at work in their lives, it brought people together. Again, Easter and the living Lord Jesus is the one behind this. Now, we might read a section like this from Acts chapter 4, and we might wonder, is this a blueprint for how the church is to operate today? Do we need to strive for some utopian social arrangement where no one owns anything? This is not a blueprint for how the Christian church ought to run today, but it is a testament to what happens when Christians, when we are connected to Christ, when we are united in faith to Christ and to those around us. We begin to have a different perspective, and in this case, they had a different perspective on their possessions, the things that God gave them. They could say with the psalmist from Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." It's a simple statement that you and I would agree with, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We would agree with that, would we not? We belong to God because He made us. This church belongs to God because He brought us together. He unites us. Our houses, our cars, our clothing, our shoes, everything that we have, it all belongs to God. We know that. But yet, we do not always like to accept this simple truth. We like to think that we own ourselves and that therefore we own everything that we have. We like to think of our possessions as those things that will serve self. Our sinful nature would like to say, but we've worked hard for what we have. We own what we have. And we get to do what we want with what we have, forgetting that even the ability to work is a gift from God. And when we focus our attention on ourselves and the accumulation of possessions for ourselves, isn't that then worshiping created things instead of the Creator? There was a story on the radio once about a man who was vacationing in the Caribbean. This man vacationing met a man who was sitting out on the beach in his chair watching the sunset. And he asked the local there what he did for a living. The man told him that he was a fisherman and he was good at it. He would go out each morning into the early afternoon and he would catch fish and he would bring the fish home to his family and they would enjoy it. And he would spend the evening playing with his children and then he would set his chair out and watch the sunset each evening. So the one on vacation got to thinking, well, you're a good fisherman and I can give you a loan. So you could open a fish shack here on the beach and you could make some more money for yourself. And then when you catch more and more fish, when things go well for you, then we'll open up a marketplace in the market in the city and you'll be able to buy a big house in the city for you and your family and life will be good. What would you do with all that success? The local fisherman said, I'd buy a house on the beach and I'd go fishing each morning. And I'd go fishing in the early afternoon as well, and I'd bring home food for my family, and I'd enjoy watching the sunset at night. And at first, when you hear that story, maybe you think, well, that makes a lot of sense. We don't want to let our ambition get in the way of enjoying life. But then you think about the story a little bit further, and maybe both men missed the point altogether. That life doesn't have meaning because of how much we can accumulate. Life doesn't have meaning just because we're able to reach a certain level of leisure. Life has meaning when we see God as our Creator and our Savior, and the one who makes us all that we are and gives us all that we have. Life has meaning when we see that everything that we have is a gracious gift from God, and it is only on loan from God for us to use to the glory of God, to serve God and our neighbor. Connected to Christ, a miracle takes place for you and I. Connected to Christ, we don't see our possessions now as, we don't see the accumulation of possessions as the end goal in this life. But instead, we see the gracious gifts that God has given us, our possessions, as tools to serve a gracious God and to carry out His will and to advance His kingdom. We have the privilege of managing the property that God has given us to His glory. And part of managing the possessions that God gives us is that when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we have to acknowledge that oftentimes not only does God provide for us each day all that we need, but He often provides an abundance of much more than we need for our daily bread. And He wants us to use it for the good of others, to bless others. It reminds me of what Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 6. He says in Galatians chapter 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to those among the family of believers. We ought to be ready to help our neighbor in need, but especially those among the household of believers. Did you know that St. John's has a help fund? That as there is opportunity, then we can give to those who are facing challenging times. This is just one of our fruits of faith, seeking to help others in their time of need. But there's more fruits of faith here. Tucked away in verse 33 there, it says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amidst opposition from authorities, being told that they were not to speak in the name of Jesus any longer, amidst all of that, what happens to the disciples? They don't hunker down in their homes, never to go out. They don't throw up their hands and say, well, how are we going to accomplish this mission Jesus gave us? But instead, they were enlivened, emboldened. They were not discouraged or dissuaded from talking about their faith, but instead, they went out and spoke all the more boldly about Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, and they knew that Jesus was with them. They knew that Jesus would bless them. The living Lord Jesus was at work behind this message, and he was at work powerfully. And this same living Lord Jesus is with us still today. Despite our sin, despite the fact that we ought to have been cut off from the vine, our Savior, he still nourishes us and strengthens us with his forgiveness. He nourishes our soul so that we can go and produce fruit. And he reminds us, don't despair. I am still alive and at work in your life. He says, don't be afraid. Your sins are forgiven. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, bring your requests to God. And he provides often much more than we need for even our daily needs. He gives us more than we need so that we can be a blessing to others. He says, don't be timid. I have given you a voice to speak, to tell others that yes, Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, but now he is alive forever and ever. And he is with us to the very end of the age. If the risen Lord Jesus could unite a group of 5,000 people over the course of just a few weeks, turning sinners prone to selfishness into generous saints, what can he do for us? He is no less powerfully at work when we gather around his word and listen to his word and united to Christ and to our fellow believers around us. Then we learn to loosen our grip on the earthly possessions that God has given us, and we look to the needs of others. We seek to use the gifts that God has given us to advance his kingdom, and we carry a powerful message to the world. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information on the ministries of St. John's, please visit www.sjtosa.org or find us on Facebook by searching for St. John's Lutheran Wauwatosa. We pray that this sermon has been a light for your path, and we'd love to have you join us for worship whenever you're in the greater Milwaukee area. God bless your week.